Nikra shuv.
We're going to read it again from item what? 17? 19?
Kabbalah for the student, page 460, introduction to the book of Panim, Meirot and Masbirot.
No, wait a minute. Where are we? 16. Not 19, 16. So we go to page
145.
Okay, so Kabbalah for the student, page 455, item 16.
Well, you can even start with 15 if you want. This is really. All right, 15. I don't want them to say that it's. I don't want you to say that it's my fault that you don't understand.
So, final introduction to the book of Panim Meirot and Masbirot, item 15, page 454. No, we have been granted the understanding of the rest of the verses in the sin of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which are most profound. Our sages, who disclosed a portion of them, concealed 10 portions with their words. As a foreword, it's written, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed.
Here I want to emphasize, what does it mean that they covered? As if there is a revelation and they cover. They cover. You put on covers so that through these covers we will grow smarter. Upgrade? I don't know how to say it. So we become prepared to accept, to receive what they wrote. You don't have words? From the word, okay, completed, from the word completion. Fine, maybe, whatever. In short, there is something, there's some knowledge, awareness, but I can't absorb this knowledge. So what do sages do? They wrap up this knowledge with all kinds of coverings, all kinds of concealments. And if I reveal concealment by concealment, what it is, what for, and why, and what happens, I thereby prepare myself to reveal the matter itself. That's the whole point of the study. Even in ordinary studies, we may not be aware of it. But in the wisdom of Kabbalah, that's the whole point of concealment. Why the concealment? In order to take upon ourselves this concealment, and then these coverings will be in us as labor, as feeling that is necessary to reveal the matter. Without it, we wouldn't be able to reveal. To grow accustomed, to be able. Okay, fine. So, they covered everything with 10 covers. It's not like they wanted to hide it. On the contrary, our sages prepared for us such preparation that will make us able to come and reveal. We shouldn't look at it as negative. I feel that maybe this is how you can accept it. You can take it. So again,
item 15. Now we have been granted the understanding of the rest of the verses in the sin of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which are most profound. Our sages, who disclosed a portion of them, concealed 10 portions with their words. As a foreword, it's written, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Know that clothing means an outer clean. Hence, the text proceeds to demonstrate the reason for the sin of the tree of knowledge, as it is written in the verse, "Libel is terrible for the children of man, for in libel you come upon him." This means that his sin had been prepared in advance, and this is the meaning of the words that Adam and his wife did not have any outer kli at the moment of creation, but only inner kelim, which extend from the system of Kedusha. Hence, they were not ashamed. This is why they did not feel their absence, as shame refers to a sensation of absence. It is known that this is the sensation of absence, and the first reason for the fulfillment of the deficiency is as one who feels one's illness and is willing to receive the medication. However, when one does not feel that he is ill, he will certainly avoid all medications. Indeed, this task is for the outer kli to do, since it is in the construction of the body and is empty of light as it comes from the vacant space. It begets the sensation of emptiness and dearth in it, by which one becomes ashamed. Hence, one is compelled to return to fill the absence and draw the lacking Or Makif, which is about to fill that kli. This is the meaning of the verse, "And they were both naked, the man and his wife, of the outer kli. For this reason, they were not ashamed, since they did not feel their absence. In that matter, they are devoid of the purpose for which they were created." Yet, we must thoroughly understand the sublimity of that man made by the hands of the Creator. Also his wife, to whom the Creator has administered greater intelligence than him, as they have written in the interpretation of the verse, "And the Lord made the rib." Thus, how did they fail and become as fools, not knowing to beware of the serpent's slyness? On the other hand, the serpent, of which the text testifies that it was more cunning than all animals of the field, how did it utter such folly and emptiness that should they eat off the fruit of the tree of knowledge, they would be turned to God? Moreover, how did that folly settle in their hearts? Also, it is said below that they did not eat because of their desire to become God, but simply because the tree is good to eat. This is seemingly a beastly desire.
Ovyut, root, through the half of Bina, is beastly, animate, ovyut, meaning still vegetative and animate. When we're not ashamed, we don't feel anything that pertains to the outer kli. The outer kli is the serpent. It needs to connect in order to let us grow, let this creature called Adam HaRishon grow, who can't do anything. He has no kli to feel difference from the Creator or dvikut with the Creator. This is why it needs to be taken through those actions and states, as we will soon learn. Questions. Slowly. Yes, Moshe.
Can you give a short intro? What are we exactly learning about? What is Adam HaRishon?
Adam HaRishon.
The system, the what?
It's not Adam who came out of the monkey, if you're a Darwinist. I don't know. What else? Or a Marxist, or whatever, then just tell us who you are. I don't know what you mean. Adam HaRishon is a spiritual structure in which we're talking about a kli. We're not talking about anything but kelim. So in this kli, we have of yud, shorosh, roots, and aleph, one, and half of bet, half of two. So it doesn't feel anything but itself, like animals, beasts, people that you see on the street. They have no sensation of the other because they can't come out into the sensation of the other. They feel like animals feel. Look at how a leopard or a lion grabs an animal. It feels the deer or whatever its prey is, but it feels it within it. It doesn't relate itself to it, but itself to it. Everything is felt in the will to receive, in short. So what we feel in the will to receive is a still vegetative inanimate with the aim to enjoy, period. To run from trouble, from suffering, and achieve pleasure. Get pleasure. This is called kli, a person. A person who lived before the desire, the additional desire formed in him. Any person in this world, you can call him like Adam HaRishon. Why? He has no ego. Nothing. He is operated by the upper force. This is why it's called an angel. That's it. Does he have any evil inclination? No evil inclination. Yeah, but he steals and lies and whatnot. That's no evil inclination. It follows an order from above, from nature. It's not from him. So it doesn't belong to him. Does a lion have an evil inclination? No. Why does a person have evil inclination? Niv, you sometimes hear him saying, I'm such this and that person, I'm so clean, I'm so pure. So, right, that's how he really is like that. From the perspective of the Creator, there is no bad in him. Everyone is like beasts. An angel. Operated. Yes?
We're talking about Adam HaRishon in the system of souls or what?
Desire. Systems and whatnot. We're talking about a desire. A desire that works in such a way that it's totally operated from above. And this is called Adam HaRishon before the sin. He has no outer kli, only his own inner kli, to enjoy what it wants. What does it want to enjoy? Food, sex, family, money, honor, power. Look at what people enjoy. That's it. They have no connection to the Creator, not bad, not good, no nothing. However they're born, that's how they live. This is why you cannot come to them. Anyone can tell you, go to the craftsman who made me. And he's right.
Can I ask about the different approaches you mentioned earlier? In Kabbalah, we see a kind of approach where everything comes as a result of cause and consequence, one after the other, and it says so in many books that followed the wisdom of Kabbalah. What happened that it didn't go by way of development, but simply came down?
Ask yourself and all the friends sitting here, who wants to go by the path of Kabbalah? Didn't he read Baruch Salam's letter? No? When someone asked him from Petah Tikva. Letter number 70. Never mind. Baruch Salam says there that they were wars. When we came to the land of Israel and we started to build the first temple after the desert, we were all truly deserved to build a kli in which we completed the degrees of bestowal, degrees of bina, to bestow in order to bestow, and you can begin to receive in order to bestow. Receiving in order to bestow means you begin to work with the will to receive, which is also in order to bestow. It's a completely different technique from bestowing in order to bestow. In bestowing in order to bestow, you only annul and annul and annul the will to receive. I'm explaining it just like that so that you have some sort of understanding of it. That's bestowing in order to bestow. But receiving in order to bestow, first of all, it's opposite. You have to receive. And as a result, to bestow. By this, I turn myself into an actual power of bestowal. Because bestowing in bestowing in order to bestow, I don't give anything. I don't add anything. I am Bina. I am free. I am afloat. You shouldn't think it's like that because it's over a big will to receive that I do this with myself. But I'm not working with the pleasures. My pleasures are only from belonging to the Creator, not from my own will to receive. Receiving in order to bestow means I receive great pleasures from the light, which I receive in the kli, in the will to receive that's intended to feel the light and enjoy, which the Creator created one opposite the other as a seal and imprint. When it enters and fills it, we don't know what it's like. It just drives you nuts. This I need to receive in dvekut and in bestowal. And give that much to the Creator. How do I do this? When they began to work in this, all kinds of mayhem started. Huge problems. It's not like they knew or didn't know. It was also, of course, planned from above because you have to get to the third temple. So this was only the first temple. You have to go through the shatterings in order to sort out the kelim and mix them and then get to the correction in the third temple. But in between, there were wars and big problems. An ocean of blood. Like really, really blood. We're not talking about arguments in the Knesset, in the Israeli parliament. And in the end, this caused the exile in Babylon. In Babylon. And then, although it corrected them to some extent, and they corrected the bestowing in order to bestow in the second temple, which was not receiving in order to bestow anymore, but bestowing in order to bestow. But in these two, they could not keep. And in the second temple, we already know what kind of wars they had, what problems, until they didn't need the Romans or the Greeks. They were just killing each other. The work is very hard. It's not like it's hard for us and we need to learn from it. Our way is different. Because there it was on the way down in the decline through resistance. But when you ask why it happened, first of all, because of the general plan, which must be done in this way, as Rabbi Akiva said, that he was happy, that it should be this way. And second, we don't understand what it is to receive in order to bestow. But in any case, it had to be this way. Yeah.
What I meant to ask is, I don't really understand what Dari says, but he says that from corals came the Kelevasadeh, and from the monkey came man, and it's also written in the different Hasidic books. So the question is, what happened that in religions or in Judaism that the Creator created man in 6 days, and there was the serpent, and this and that, something really corporeal. Where is the rift? If the Ari writes so elaborately,
It's not a tear. It's the same story, just in different languages. It's not 6 days. However, it's about degrees. Yes, in 6 days, 6 degrees, we're reading Zohar now. And he explains, he explains the languages, the language of Kabbalah, the language of Anafim, the branches, and the Midrash, the language of the Torah, and also the Agadah. The different languages. He explains it, but it's the same thing. I don't see any... There are four languages corresponding to the four phases of direct light, and every aspect, it's a different expression. You can use it, you can use all the languages, even though he says that the language of Kabbalah covers everything. It's more precise. But clothing in all the other forms, as if close to our world, our reality, our seeming reality. It's virtual reality, but in order to give us some emotion, rub us inside, so we'll somehow be ready with our mind and emotion to say that one corresponds to another, one resembles another. So we'll have some imaginations to develop us. So we can't teach people according to the language of Kabbalah alone. We have to somehow give them some other matter, some other language, yes?
But there's a form of development. Like, I always thought that it's just blasphemy to say that another form has come out. And here we see that there is a method of development, and it wasn't like magic in some world came out. This rooted thing, where did it happen that Kabbalists taught the nation like this, the people?
Educated the people how?
Cause and effect, that from...
Because that's the way it really is. What? How is that? How does that oppose the Torah?
It's not opposed. Why do they educate the people that if you look at a form of development, that it goes against everything that's written?
What does it go against? I don't understand. Today? The secular people?
What he's saying is that in the religion, people are educated according to the story that this magic happened, that suddenly this happened, that there's not a process of cause and effect. And he's saying that in a lot of books of Kabbalah, you can find the explanation of a development.
Yes.
So he's asking how this tear happened, that the Kabbalistic explanation doesn't appear in the writings.
Today or since when? In Sfat Emet, you can't tell me.
In Sfat Emet, it's about 150 years old. He writes that there has to be a middle, intermediate state. So he says about like what the Ari says, that the man comes out of the monkey and so on. So I'm asking it like I was taught against all of reality, that, and Kabbalists prepared this specifically.
I don't know what to tell you. Now you're talking about politics and modern education, things that are happening over there. I don't know. I'm not related to that. I'm telling you, when I came with my modern, healthy, scientific mind to the Torah, I saw a story, and I understand that this story is completely misunderstood. There's something in it, but no one knows what's in it. And I started searching for someone to explain this to me. That's how I reached Rav Zilberman in Jerusalem, Yitzchak Zilberman, and later I've been a few lessons, two or three with Berg. I saw he's speaking nonsense. He's talking about cosmic forces, a force that comes from the moon or from some stars. I didn't relate to that at all. And then Rabash. Well, I went to Baba Sali and all these old people. I thought maybe something, but they couldn't explain it. They were in attainment, but they didn't know how to explain it. That's it. That's not Kabbalah Avari, it's old Spanish Kabbalah. It's Kabbalah, but it's a different approach, different language. And that's the only, this is the only method I related to, I connected to. That's why what's going on in the Orthodox world. In the Orthodox world, I learned 6 months in a yeshiva in Kfar Chabad. I took some lessons in the Talmud for a few years. Masechet Shabbat, Bamemtzia, Baba Batra, different portions of the Talmud. Sanhedrin. All kinds of different portions. But I didn't go into any argument with them at all or scrutinies, because I saw that I have no one to talk to over there. No one. They knew that I've been learning with Rav Ash already, and they came to me to start arguing with me. I said, I'm just starting to study now. I don't know anything at all. It's just, this is interesting for me. So they went to the Rav Fisher in Rehovot. He's probably passed away. He was very old. I think he was from Holland, from Netherlands, or one of your places. So he said, let him go. Some people must have that. There is no choice. I feel that that's something this person has to do. He has these questions and he has to answer them. And they let me go. He was very smart. I don't know if he himself learned Kabbalah or something, and no one knew about that. But he was very respectable, very modest. It was nice. He was the Rav of the religious neighborhood over there in Ezra Street in Rehovot. I was in his place there. I went to ask these questions about the citrus fruit and all these, you know, kinds of things. So that's why I don't know about all these different forms of arguments to do this or not, what the way it was. Maybe it was between Kabbalists of different sorts. I don't know. And it also doesn't interest me. I have my own goal I'm trying to attain, to start arguing with them and each one's thoughts and everything. Who knows what's going on today? You don't have an authority today that can explain you, this is according to this, this is according to this. No. In Kabbalah too, you have different methods, the method of Agra, the method of Bala Sulam, the Rav Kook, and this method. So what? So who understands about all these things? Who understands today? No. That's why I just covered all these things up, and that's it. However, one thing is true, I'm reading, and I read, well, I'm not talking about things like Divrei Emet. These things are, for instance, Ma'or Veshemesh, Degel Machane Ephraim, the banner of the camp of Ephraim. So I see no difference between them and Baal HaSulam. Just that the language is richer. Baal HaSulam actually doesn't have a variety of words. Their language is more lyrical. It's more rich. I've read many such books by rabbis. A certain rabbi from my city was very interesting. Briaritz, the fruit of the land, and except for the books of Kabbalah, by Isaac Hover and such. Ramak is one person I read much. Before Baal HaSulam, I read Ramak, and I tried to search there. I couldn't find a method there. I couldn't find a method. Yes, many words, but not a method. With Ramchal, I used to connect to him, and sometimes I couldn't. It's a difficult language, difficult style. Agra, you can't understand him. You have to be in a certain degree. He doesn't write to beginners at all. This is why, because of, I had no choice when I saw the books of Balasulam. Wow, you can open them and read sentences, and somehow you understand this is something that a Kabbalist who was really in between the Kabbalah and the ordinary person. That's why this is it. And as much as I examined, there was no one there. Either it was philosophers who understand nothing, like Gershon Shalom and all these, And that's it. I didn't invest in that at all. That's why you're asking me, what do I think about all these stories, what they write, why is it this way or that way? I have no idea. And I also don't argue. Sometimes when I stumble upon them, they say, but you said not this and that. Ultra-Orthodox people. They follow me and they tell me, and I have no answer. I have no answer to them. I don't go into arguments or anything. I learn according to a very restricted source. Baal HaSulam, that's it. What can I do? There are many like him. Okay. Fine. Let's continue, right? No. Send him letter number 70, so he will read it. Item 16.
So we are in Kabbalah for the student, page 455, item 16. We must know the nature of the two kinds of discernments commentary for us. The first discernment is called the discernment of good and bad. The second discernment is called the discernment of true and false. This means that the Creator has imprinted a discerning force in each creature that executes everything that is good for it and brings it to its desired perfection. The first discernment is the active physical force. It operates using the sensation of bitter and sweet, which loathes and repairs the bitter form, since it is bad for it, and loves and attracts the sweet because it is good for it. This operating force is sufficient in the still vegetative and animate in reality to bring them to their desired perfection. Atop them is the human species, in which the Creator instilled a rational operating force. It operates in sorting the above second discernment, rejecting the falsehood and emptiness with loathing to the point of nausea, and attracts true matters and every benefit with great love. This discernment is called the discernment of true and false. It is implemented solely in the human species, each according to his own measure. Know that the second acting force was created and came to man because of the serpent. At creation, he had only the first active force from the discernments of good and bad, which was sufficient for him at that time. Let me explain it to you in an allegory. If the righteous were rewarded according to their good deeds, and the wicked punished according to their bad deeds in this world, Kedusha, sanctity, would be determined for us in a reality of sweet and good. And the Sitra Achra, the other side, would be defined in the reality of bad and bitter. In that state, the commandment of choice would reach us, as it is written, "Behold, I have set before you the sweet and the bitter, therefore choose sweet." Thus, all people would be guaranteed to achieve perfection, for they would certainly run from the sin, as it is bad for them. They would be occupied in his mitzvot days and night, day in and night out, ceaselessly, like today's fools regarding the bodily matters and its filth, since it is good and sweet for them. So was the matter of Adam HaRishon when he created him, and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. Our sages interpret to dress it are the positive mitzvot, and to keep it are the negative mitzvot. The positive mitzvot were to eat and delight with all the trees of the garden. His negative mitzvot were not to eat from the tree of knowledge, good and evil. The positive mitzvot were sweet and nice, and the negative mitzvot were retirement from the bitter fruit is as hard as death. Not surprisingly, these cannot be called mitzvot in labor. We find the likes of that in our present chores, where through the pleasures of Shabbat and the good days, we are rewarded with sublime divinity. And we also rewarded with retiring from reptiles and insects and everything that one finds loathsome. You find that the choice of the work of Adam Rishon was by the way of therefore choose sweet. It follows that the physical palate alone was sufficient for all he needed to know what the Creator commanded and what he did not command.
Clear? The state of Adam Rishon? When everything is clear, both in the mind and the heart. In the mind, he says, this is bad. In the palate, he tastes bitter. That's it. Or, in the mind, he says, this is good. And he tastes a sweet thing. And everything is clear. There are no doubts, no problems. Bitter and sweet. However, later, it becomes confused. Bittersweet and truth and false. It's as if bitter and sweet is something that's clear. I can feel what bitter is and what sweet is. No. What seems to me to be sweet is mixed with a lie, with false, that eventually leads me to death. What?
Before we read that when Eve tasted from the fruit, she really enjoyed herself in the beginning.
Yes.
What did she enjoy herself? What was in that fruit?
It was sweet. It was very sweet.
The sweet of the tree of knowledge?
Yes.
And what was the difference from all the other fruit she ate?
I open my eyes. I see everything. I understand everything. I feel everything. That's something. However, previously I was like a child tasting something tasty. That's it. So a child who tastes something tasty, that's it. That's okay. That's enough for him. But now, when my vessels have grown, I've attached great vessels to me, achap, except for Galgalta and Anaim, I attached the achap to me. And this achap, I get a feeling. Do you understand? This is the entire reality, all the worlds, the whole world, everything. It fills vessels of reception, not vessels of bestowal. Vessels of reception it fills. So, you cannot say that this is such a flavor. We don't know that what that is. It's the light of Ein Sof.
So at the same time, he discovered everything, true, yes. False, everything.
Everything. There is no false. There is no false in such a state. There's nothing. There's only upper light filling the entire kli. Knowledge, feeling, I don't know what that is. These are infinite vessels.
So all we're left is to give contentment to the Creator, to receive everything in order to bestow. That was the second tasting?
No. No, giving contentment to the Creator is a means. All that's left is to be like the Creator. Like the Creator. That's what should be. Contentment is the means.
So the second tasting to be like the Creator?
The second tasting is to discover additional vessels that he's lacking in order to be Adam, because as he tasted it, he still remained in the degree of behemoth, beast, even though it opened his eyes. It's just that his eyes are open, but he didn't acquire the vessel yet. He's not working with it in order to be like the Creator. The purpose of creation is to reach adhesion. Adhesion is equivalence. Well, slowly. We'll take time. All right.
Question from Moscow. It's not clear how the serpent helped the Adam reach the discernment of truth and false.
The serpent itself is vessels of reception that have now connected to the structure of Adam, who is circumcised without the vessels of reception. When they've connected to the Adam, you can call it a serpent, these vessels of reception. Yes, Gilad.
He's asking a question, why is it called mitzvot? And he's saying that it's similar to what we're doing in our world. So when what is it similar, and why is it called mitzvot?
Because when a person acting using various means, attaining additional phenomena, and then the actions are called mitzvot, and additional pleasure is called the light of mitzvah. You see, like people do. I can't go deeper inside into this because it's... But let's say this is the way it is. People are enjoying themselves. They have a deficiency about it. That's it. You can find such deficiencies that are not related to the mitzvot of the Torah. That's it. I don't know if I'll find the words. Let's read it again. Maybe. No, not from the beginning. And this may explain this to you. Well, maybe we'll continue. I want to go over all these things. These pages, we have quite a few pages here. It's no laughing matter. Till the end, 15 more pages. So then we'll see the process, and later we'll be able to talk about it. All these different states. Item 17, right?
17, page 456. Now we can understand the serpent's craftiness, which our sages added and notified us that some was clothed in it.
I just want to bring you back. Nowhere does it say anything clear about Adam HaRishon. You can look for it, but look in our places, in the right places. Nowhere is it written about Adam HaRishon in a way that we can understand. This is the only place. And this is also very difficult. And they intentionally, as he says, Chazal, our sages say that they cover it with 10 coverings. And he covers it with one more. Intentionally. Because if we don't go through these coverings in our work, when we try and make our attempts, we'll never understand these things. Go on.
17. Now we can understand the serpent's craftiness, which our sages added and notified us the sum clothed in it. Because its words were very high. It started with, "Ye hath God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden," meaning it began to speak with her, since the woman was not commanded by the Creator. Hence, it asked her about the modes of scrutiny, meaning, how do you know that the tree of knowledge had been prohibited? Perhaps all the fruits of the garden were prohibited too. And the woman said, "Of the fruit of the trees of the Garden of Eden we may eat. You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, you will die." There are two great precisions here. A, the touching was never prohibited. Hence, why did she add that prohibition? Two, did she doubt the words of the Creator? The Creator said, "You shall surely die." And the woman said, "Lest he die." Could it be that she did not believe in the words of the Creator even before the sin? Yet the woman answered according to the serpent's question. She knew that the Creator had prohibited that all the trees of the garden were sweet and nice and good to eat. However, she was already close to touching that tree inside the garden and tasted it, a taste that is as hard as death. She herself had proven that by her own observation there is a fear of death, even from mere touching. For this reason, she understood the prohibition further that she had heard from her husband, and there is none so wise as the experienced. Let he die concerns the touching, the answer that must have been quite sufficient. For who could interfere and deny another's taste? However, the serpent contradicted her and said, "You shall not surely die, for God knows that the day you eat of it, then you shall open your eyes. Your eyes shall be opened." We must make the precision of concerning the matter of opening the eyes to this place. Indeed, is it informed of a new thing beyond her? It proved to them that it is a folly to think that the Creator created something harmful and terminal in this world. Thus, with respect to the Creator, it is certainly not bad and harmful. Instead, the bitterness that you will taste in it when even close to touching is only on your part, since this is to notify you of the height of your merit. Thus, it is additional kedusha that you need during the act, so your sole aim will be to bring contentment to your Maker, to keep the aim for which you were created. For this reason it seems evil to you, so you will understand the additional kedusha, sanctity required from you. For the day that you thou eateth thereforth, meaning the act in it, kedusha and purity, as clear as day, then ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. This means that it is certainly sweet to the Creator and completely equal, so the good and bad will be to you in complete equivalence, sweet and gentle. It is still possible to doubt the credibility of the serpent, since the Creator did not tell him that himself. Therefore, the serpent said first, "For God doeth know that the day you will eat, your eyes shall be opened." This means it is not necessary for the Creator to notify you of that, since he knows that if you pay attention to that, to eat on the side of Kedusha, your eyes shall be opened by themselves to understand the measure of his greatness. You will feel wondrous sweetness and gentleness in him. Hence, he does not need to let you know, as for he instilled in you scrutinizing force that you may know what is your benefit for yourselves. It is written right after that, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was the light for her eyes." This means that she did not rely on his words, but went and examined with her own mind and understanding and sanctified herself with additional kedusha. This brings contentment to the Creator in order to complete the aim desired of her, and not at all for herself. At that time, her eyes were opened, and the serpent had said, "And the woman saw that the tree was good for food." In other words, by seeing that it was a delight for her eyes, before she even touched it, she felt the sweetness and lust. When her eyes saw them by themselves that she had not seen such a desirable thing in all the trees of the garden, she also learned that the tree is good for knowledge, meaning that there is far more to crave and covet in this tree than all the other trees in the garden. This refers to knowing that they were created for this act of eating, and that this side of the whole purpose, as the serpent told her. After all these certain observations, she took from the fruit thereof and did eat, and she gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. The text actually writes with her, meaning with her pure intention to only bestow and not for her own need. This is the meaning of the words, and she gave also unto her husband with her in sanctity, kedusha.
What is understood, what isn't? Yes, Amnon.
Rav, it seems as if somebody's in the defense of the woman, that she did something not in order to give him contentment, but...
It's true.
So where is her sin that he said, you will bear sons in sorrow? And
there is no sin by the woman. Today I'm afraid to say anything else.
So we're not speaking about a woman, right? A human. We're speaking about this degree in man.
Right.
So why actually he wants to give contentment to...
No one is to blame. It's a revelation of the vessels that we have to correct. Because without them, we won't be able to reach the purpose of creation to be equal, adhered like the Creator. Yes? Except for that, we're not talking about a woman and a man. Yes?
When they ate from the tree of knowledge, what were they ashamed suddenly? What did they cover themselves with?
They started to use vessels of reception that came to begin with the screen. And then, as they extended it by themselves, they discovered they have no masach, they have no screen to use with vessels of reception in order to bestow. Why don't they have it? Because they themselves can't do it. With the upper force, they can. By themselves, they can. So what he discovered was the gap between what's given from above and what they can activate from below. So they discovered a kli, an external kli, a true achap, the gap between the force the Creator gives and what the creature cannot.
But it's clear that man in the beginning was only Gargalta and Enayim. He didn't have any achap. Adam Rishon.
Yes. Gargalta and Enayim also, it's not exactly, because they belong to the achap and they're interdependent. These Gargalta and Enayim are also different. If I use the achap, all the lights go through Gargalta and Enayim and take upon themselves great changes.
That's exactly the point, that he tasted from the tree of knowledge. He added the achap to him.
Yes.
So why? So everything was fine. The process should have taken place.
All right. That's the first time they ate it, when it comes from above. That's why she came to him. But later, when he wanted to use it by himself, and the second time he tasted it, second time he ate it, when I myself want to give contentment, boom, I cannot. Here I find out that it's really, I didn't want it, I didn't think, it broke, it's not me. There is no argument here. A vessel was revealed here. The essential gap between the Creator and the created being has been revealed. Now you have what to correct, but this is certainly not Adam or Eve or nothing. These are just stories they made from this story. Who's looking at it? Who's giving any importance to that? Maybe some religions do that.
So, also here, and also what we studied about Ibul this morning and afternoon, that actually, when a person performs anything of himself, doesn't matter how good his intention will be, anything that there's like a self in there, it'll always bring some flaw or damage.
Yes.
So how, in such a reality, where man already gets the recognition of evil, that everything I involve myself in, for sure, it'll be damaged. How, in such a reality, can a person still be, if not for me, who is for me?
I attach, I cling to the Creator. as much as I can, and that's, if I'm not for me, who is for me? Does this occur in my action? Yes. In Gelgalat HaEinayim, yes. When I do that, I develop the achap in the, if I'm not for me, who is for me? But with the extra adhesion, more and more, vessels of reception are revealed to me, and I attach to him more and more. So why not? If I'm not for me, who is for me? Of course it's there. My action, is it all the time in adhesion? Yes, of course. All the time in adhesion. It's just this first point, Ibu, that we now have to attain. All the rest is overcoming, more and more to add.
What's that me that is involved in the action, if not for me, who is for me? The me that isn't opposite of Ibul.
Point in the heart. My reality that remains with me from the Creator to begin with. And it's really there. I have only one point where Rabash or Bala Sulam writes, I'm looking at this point, and doesn't matter. Leave it. Rabash, Volume 3?
But let's say in the lessons of the Ibul, when the friends speak in a way that everything depends on the group, that a person annuls himself, that a person has to be it in Hishat and none else besides him, you really get mad sometimes. Like you said about a cemetery. So if you talk like this, just go to a cemetery and die. Because I can't understand where that point of the effort in, if not for me, who is for me, that isn't a flaw. Because supposedly all the experience...
You're ascribing yourself to the Creator. How can this be a flaw?
Because what a person learns on his own flesh, that every action that comes from him, that himself is in there, in the end...
On the contrary, you're ascribing it. The greater the aviyut is, you have more to cling with. I don't understand you. If the aviyut, the coarseness that is revealed with this aviyut, you can ascribe it to the Creator. If you can use it to discover the light, and it depends on you in this revelation, then of course, if I'm not for me, who is for me? You bet. I reveal the Creator. What greater role can you have? What greater role or duty can you have? On the one hand, it's total annulment. On the other hand, what intensity of action? Work.
Well, it's not clear that for this state to be possible, so there has to be arvut in society, you need the Creator to give certain conditions. It's like this point of the self that adheres itself is very artificial.
Well, you're right with everything, but hold on before you go to the cemetery. What do you want, Baruch? What's wrong? Regarding the text, if you could explain some things, what is the touching and the doubt about the words of the serpent? Rav, touching is touching. It's not that there are levels of reception to receive in order to bestow, to bestow in order to bestow. There are levels, so there is such a level called touching. So it's not integration, not talking about that? Rav, no. And what is opening the eyes? Opening the eyes means that a person starts using these vessels of reception. He sees it. And what is this state of... She preceded the snake, the serpent. Rav. Oh, that's when I use the intention in order to bestow, and only accordingly do I reveal the vessels of the reception. Well, we'll learn this in the future. Your questions are correct, but... Yes, Shai. Stasik from Toronto is asking, can we explain the last paragraph in easy words? Well, in clear words, Rav, I'm not interested in explaining this in clear words. Yeah. What you have to understand in this story is what the meaning of coverings that our sages, without going through these coverings, you won't attain it. You'll just settle for my explanation. And what about it? You'll just forget about it a minute later. Is this the answer for ego from Kiev asking about what are the different trees in the garden? The different trees in the garden means that you can enjoy everything in various ways, all the fruits, except for the fruit of the tree of knowledge. That's it. There is a will to receive, which is in order to receive, and you're not allowed to touch it. And also, if you have an intention in order to bestow, you're not allowed to touch it, because this intention is something you get from above to discover the entire light. And then, by that, you break the kli, you break the desire. The desire starts being entirely connected to in order to receive. That's it. A serpent is in a hap without a screen, called the serpent, enters the desire and connected to the desire and has become entire kli in order to receive. Very nice. From now on, we can start talking about corrections. The serpent is doing a very good job. Really, we should take an example from it. How much it diverts us and doesn't let us rest all the time, working and working. It's a great force of nature, without which how could we grow? How could we advance towards something? Try to imagine us existing now like animals, no one knowing why, for what reason, 100% activated without any criticism, without any ability to see himself from the side. What kind of nasty life is that? Only to exist until I die. That's how all the people in the world are. Now, what is revealed in us, Niv?
The evil inclination.
The serpent is revealed, and thanks to him we start developing. He is our buddy. Okay? Fine. Who? Garik. Lately you've been starting to recuperate. How old are you?
72.
Oh, you're like me. So,
Today.
Very well. Stay healthy until 120. You have time.
We see that everything depends on our perception of reality.
Yes.
So before a complete revelation, what meaning, why do we need to talk about all this history and what people have been going through?
Yeah, but by us wanting to attain what they have attained already, and they wrote about it, by that we shorten times, we're yearning for that. Of course we can sit and do nothing. But once, one time, the desire for each and everyone will reincarnate and correct, and then that's it. So what, should we retire now?
Is there any meaning to speak about, let's say, history?
No. What history?
Like Moshe asked today, before revelation, it can be all different.
I don't understand what he's saying.
Things, let's say, that happened.
Yes.
It's all imaginary world.
Ah, so you're asking something else. You're asking, how can we talk about something that happened yesterday or a moment ago or 5,000 years ago? It's all imaginary. It's all imaginations in our mind.
And it can be that it's the exact same thing that what we're living now. And
that's true, but so what? We have to talk about some reality. It doesn't matter what language we use. It doesn't matter how we depict it, but we have to talk about it. This depiction is clear to us as years and events. Well, so what? Of course, it's all in the vessels.
Can it be different?
This depiction?
It depends on the people that...
If we'll correct ourselves, we'll see that what we thought before was all wrong. Then it will be revealed. First, we'll discover that never was there any evil. There is no evil in the world. That's the first revelation. And as a result, you get other changes. All right. Okay, you threw away. Oh, I have this nagging friend over there. Yeah, go ahead. Should we go to the Zohar or what? Akoka? Do you have things to talk about? How long? Last 15 minutes? Okay, yes. Rav, I wanted to ask about what you said before we read this item, that you said that the in Wisdom of Kabbalah, they didn't talk a lot about Adam Rishon.
They did not explain it well. It's written, but never a full explanation, and nothing that's close to us. There's a bit in part number 16 of Tess, from item 44 and onward. There is in the Tree of Life a bit, in a way that you can't really... It's not so nice, meaning towards us. There's a bit of in Ramchal's writings, but it's all in working spiritually, working the Creator, that when you attain it, that's it.
So, until a few days ago, we've learned the preface, and everything was very precise, geometric. You drew these systems, and then we had a sharp move, and here the study is so different. There's a story of a Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, and we also started in the beginning. You didn't talk about the introduction. I don't know what Panim Meirot Masbirot means. Can you somehow connect these things or give something?
No, don't want to. I'm serious. Don't want to. Why shouldn't you just accept this like that?
Okay, we're trying to accept it like that, but...
You're not even trying. I know you.
No, I'm trying.
You're not.
Okay, I have a lot of questions about the text and everything, but even before that, I'm trying to connect what we had until a few days ago to this depiction.
A few days it was that, and now it's this, so... We study in all these writings how to resemble the Creator, how to be in adhesion with Him above every state. Yeah.
So maybe I'll try a question nonetheless about this.
As much as I am studying supposedly with my mind, it's not with my mind. I'm studying this to have forces to be in adhesion. I'm not studying in order to fill my brain. Yeah.
According to what seems to me, the Creator only talks to Adam, and the serpent speaks only to the woman.
I don't know, I didn't really pay attention who's speaking to who.
Well, that's what we read.
You want to make scenes from this, or...
I wanted to ask, between themselves they don't talk, as if these two desires are not synchronized.
Adam doesn't speak to the Creator only through the woman.
No, it's as if he doesn't talk to his wife.
The woman and the serpent connect Adam to the Creator, okay?
Can you explain what you just said?
No, you think about it. Specifically, with the help of the woman and the serpent, man connects to the Creator.